This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Wednesday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
I'm like mixing it up with inflections. That's right. Like, I feel like every day it sounds the same. You could just like plug it in.
Well, it is that time of the year where every day just seems to be the same dreary and rainy,
dreary,
cloudy,
cold, wet, where you feel it in your bones and you wake up and it's like, what is it, midnight or 7 a.m.? I don't know.
Yeah. That's the hardest part. I'm getting here going, I got to go wake my daughters up in the morning, and it's like, but it's still dark out. No, it's due.
I know. I feel your pain, darling. I feel your pain. But you have to get up and go to school. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, it's January. Whoa, we're already at January 7th. I feel like 2026 may zoom by like 2025, but it is time once again for the Mid-Valley Home Show. The 2026 Mid-Valley Home Show is Friday, January 9th through Sunday, January 11th. And on the phone with us from the Home Builders Association is Haley Hamilton to tell us all about it. Haley, Happy New Year and welcome to the show.
I think we may have lost Haley here, so we might have to kind of give a little prequel as I try and get her back on the line.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll talk a little bit about it. It's the home show. It's over at the Jackman Long Building. And I actually have to say I'm glad we're back to calling it the Jackman Long Building. It used to have some other weird name. But anyway, it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And Sunday, the 11th, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Admission is free. And I know we're trying to get Haley back. So it's like, I don't want to give away too much until we get Haley back. But just in general, these home shows are great. If you've got any kind of home improvement projects coming up for the next year, if you're a do-it-yourselfer, if you've got major stuff, if you're trying to sell, you know, we always talk to Amy McLeod when we're talking real estate insights. And if you've got projects that you want to do to freshen up your space to sell, this is always a great place to go to get inspiration. It's just it's a great show, and it's the 48th annual. Do we have Haley back?
We have Haley back.
Okay, Haley, I hope I didn't talk too much about it. We're going to go. I kind of gave a rundown of what people can expect and why this is really something to put on your calendar. Once again, Haley Hamilton from the Home Builders Association. Welcome to the show, Haley. It's great to have you, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thanks for having me again.
So go ahead and bring us up to date. I kind of gave a little bit of the details, but you're really the one who knows all about this and what people can expect from the 2026 Mid-Valley Home Show.
Yeah, so we've got Melton's Heating and Air Conditioning back as our presenting sponsor. So they have been here for many, many years supporting the Home Builder Association and the Mid-Valley Home Show. They will be here with their great discounts that they give at this show only. We have 11 local remodelers this year, which is really exciting for us. We have a lot of our local folks back in the show again, kind of rebuilding. And so you'll get a lot of local businesses to help you out with your remodel or your build if you have a new build coming. We've got some custom doors local as well. Salem Door and Cascade Door and Millwork will be here if you have new doors or new front doors that you're needing. They've got some really cool stuff out there on the floor to show us this year. Yeah, we've got lots of new stuff. Luminations, which is a new permanent lighting local company. So if you're looking for those permanent lights to put in your house, and you can have different color lights throughout the year to celebrate all the things. That's kind of exciting.
Very cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I always thought this is a good place.
We have all kinds of fun stuff this year. And then, we have our every year on Friday, we always support the Red Cross and have the blood drive. So the blood drive will be here from 11 to 4 right out front. So that's kind of an exciting thing. Not super home related, but definitely helps out the community.
Yeah, always a great thing. And I think that what a great way to give back to the community to do that. I always think of this home show. It's like you're kind of like we talked about at the beginning of the show. This time of year is dreary. You're kind of stuck inside. And it's kind of nice to start dreaming about maybe some cool outdoor spaces. And there's all kinds of live. They go in and they set up, and there's a couple of vendors that, like, you know, take it up to 11, and they do these great displays. So you can really get an idea of, oh, I could do that. I could do that in my home.
Yeah. We have Green Acres is back, and they're right front and center when you come in, and they're doing a really cool display this year. So something a little bit different, but still super cool. We've got our the Home Fire Show will be here this year, and they've got a great display there with some of their fires that will actually be they've got connected to the natural gas now here at Fairgrounds, so we can have some warmth in there. that's exciting. We've got an ADU company that I'm really excited about too. That's kind of a new up and coming thing, having ADUs and doing the multi-generational living. So we've got a company here that will help you get your ADUs built on your property for either aging in place or kids or whatever other rental income that you want to have on your property.
Yeah, for folks, they don't know, ADU is an accessory dwelling unit, and like, you know, the mother-in-law apartment, which we don't say anymore.
Yeah, I guess you can't.
Yeah. But it is a big trend. So, Haley, again, I kind of ran down the numbers again. Give us the dates. Talk to us about admission, parking, all kind of the nuts and bolts on this.
Yeah, so Friday we open the doors at 11. CKB Remodeling, who's also a local company here, they sponsored that. So it's free parking and admission all weekend. Cool. Saturday and Sunday is 10 to 5. Free parking, free admission. You just park right across the street from the Jackman Long Building here at the Oregon State Fairgrounds.
And I'm happy it's called the Jackman Long Building again. I think it had some other name for a while, but all of us who've, you know, been in the area for a million years, it's like, it's the Jackman Long Building.
Yeah, I know. It did have another name for a hot second, but yeah.
And I don't remember what it was.
Yeah.
Okay, so free parking, opening up at 11. It sounds like it's going to be great. If you got a little bit of hunger going on, are there going to be any food vendors there that you can, you know, satisfy a craving while you're roaming around looking at all the great displays?
Yeah, the fairgrounds has their local food vendor there towards the back of the Jackman Long Building. So they'll have food, snacks, drinks. For those who are always looking for TBS honey, he is back this year with his honey. Uh-huh. So if you're looking to restock your honey supply, he will be here. And of course, my favorite, we will have Rent-A-Chickens again.
Oh my gosh, that's right. You told us about that last year. Was that a success last year?
You know, they are. They are super successful, and it is a very strange business, but they are just rocking it with renting chickens. You rent them for the summer and spring when they're laying eggs, and you give them back in the winter, and... Yeah,
that's so
comes with all the things you need for a chicken. You get your fresh eggs all summer, and when they aren't laying, you don't have to worry about them.
Yeah, and chickens are not cheap. You don't save money. Mm. I have 7 hens right now, and they're all lovely. All I have my girls, and they're all laying. But you don't do it to save money. You do it to get the best eggs you can ever get. So I think that's cool that they're back again. That's awesome.
Yeah, so they'll be here, and they'll have chicken races. So if you've got kids, bring them out. They usually have little chicks to look at and pet and hold and all the things. So,
do you guys get video of the chicken races? That's hilarious. You know, chickens,
I am going to make
sure
I make a point of it this year. I have not yet, but I need to do that because it is really hilarious.
Yeah. It's kind of like at the Oktoberfest with like the dachshund races. There's just some things that you need to videotape. All right, Haley. Well, thank you so much. HomeBuildersAssociation.org/mid-valley-home-show. You can get all that information. Again, Happy New Year, and thanks for sharing the information, and best of luck.
Yeah, thank you. Happy New Year's.
All right. Happy New Year, Haley. Okay. We will, I will link that in show notes, by the way. Sorry. Excuse me. I lost my voice there for a second. Cause if you're driving and you want to know, all the information is out there and there's sponsors and there's more info and a phone number you can call if you want to learn more. So once again, the 2026 Mid-Valley Home Show, Friday, January 9th through Sunday, January 11th. We're going to go ahead and take a break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Bi-Mart and the Perlin Mill.
All right, so what do we file this under? Yeah, we told you so.
Well, I also file this under... everyone kind of suspects it's going on, a little bit is revealed, and then it goes under the rug, so there's no real follow-up, and now it's kind of rearing its ugly head because you can only bury, you know, fraud for so long.
Yeah, headline, Seattle Red 770 AM, Oregon quietly registered non-citizens to vote, and only now admits the mess. Friend of the show, Russ Walker, this was an intentional and well-executed plan by the Democrat leadership in Oregon. I've been warning people about this for the last 20 years. Oregon quietly registered non-citizens to vote and only now admits the mess. The Department of Justice needs to bring the hammer down on Oregon. Link in the comments, and it is in there, and I'm happy to share that with people. And it's interesting, I'm looking at the, and I won't call anybody out because these are names you would know, people who have served in government in Oregon for a long time, who were like, we knew this was happening. One friend was working in the legislature when Motor Voter passed, and he said that they were told over and over again that there was no way it would be used to register non-citizens. We knew better.
Well, and I sit here and go, and the blame. it's confusing computer programs. And, you know, I'm just sitting here going, so virtually you hire people to work at the DMV that don't understand the program they're working on? Because, oops, we accidentally registered 1,700 people that we know of to vote?
Doesn't the DMV still use, like, Apple IIe's with no hard drives and floppy disks? So, I don't know.
Probably. I mean, yeah, it's like, that's what we grew up learning. Come on.
I know. Another comment on this thread is, I find it interesting that when signing up for the Oregon Health Plan and other social services, you can also register to vote. I thought that was odd, and somebody chimes in, odd is not the word that comes to mind, but it kind of rhymes with it. Gee, yeah. What rhymes with odd? Oh, fraud.
Yeah. Well, and so now, and of course, then the reason they're discovering this is now because of the Real ID.
Right.
The people are needing to go in and get real IDs with more scrupulous overlook, because that's coming from the federal level and it's being exposed. And of course, now they're saying, well, maybe what we need to do is let our people working at the DMV know, or tell the people that they're registering for a driver's license or car registration that, oh, you're also being registered to vote. If you want to opt out of it, you can. And whatever your signature you use on this form is going to be the same one on your ballot. It's like, I'm not a big fan of Motor Voter, and I'm less of a fan of Oregon going ahead and just registering people willy-nilly.
I am not a fan at all. I mean, voting is a civic duty. It's a responsibility. It is something that maybe you should put a little elbow grease into going to have to register instead of just, here you go. It cheapens it all. And of course, it's ripe for fraud. And so I'm glad this is all coming out. But again, you got 40 years of Democrat rule. Think we're going to see an audit on any of this?
No,
I mean, it is coming out. So much is coming. I feel like we're in, like, revelation times. It's all coming out.
Well, and that's one of the other things I said there. You know, at the federal level, they have no real power, because it's in the Constitution to say Oregon can't choose to vote by mail. They really can't if you dig into it.
Yeah.
But they do have the ability to say, federal elections, we have the right to audit your voter rolls. And I think that's the only way we're ever going to see the truth come out about how massive this is, because 1,700, I still think, is a very, very low number.
Oh, I think it's so low. It's not even funny how low. You know, it started out with, well, that's not happening at all. It's not happening. And then it's like, well, maybe it is, but it's not that bad. And now, well, yeah, it is happening. And now I think we're at, well, you're noticing, bigot, what are the names of the, because we're noticing now.
Racist,
we know.
Bigot.
Yeah, that's where, homophobe, are we at that stage in the little circular diagram?
We're getting very, very close if we're not there already.
I know. So that'll be interesting. Real quick, too, we talked yesterday about the Trump administration and the vaccine schedule, taking it down to more, don't we want to be more like Europe? 11 versus 72 jabs. And again, you can, if you want 72 jabs for your kid,
go ahead.
Okay.
Get them.
You can still do it. But of course, Oregon, Washington, California, Oregon will keep its childhood vaccine schedule despite the CDC changes. And I read through this article. It's over at the Salem Reporter. Funny, it's not behind a paywall, so I was able to read the whole thing. Oregon can still access. And again, if you want that, go for it.
Yeah. Why do you need
the
government?
You want to do that, you want to put all that stuff in your kid, okay.
Well.
No one's stopping you. But the fact that now, because Oregon is like, well, because Trump, apparently, they're going to get, families are going to get two different sets of information. Who's causing the confusion at that point?
Well, I sit here and go, and it's the state of Oregon. In reading through this article, the wonderful bow tie, we remember him during those Zoom meetings during COVID.
Oh, yes.
You know, of course, for him, it's like, well, the CDC shouldn't just make changes. And I'm sitting going, but you had no problem when they added things nonstop till we get to the point of 72 jabs.
Yeah. And it all comes down to orange, mad, bad. Mm-hmm. And that's how stupid all of this is. And again, just to the CDC still recommends all children receives vaccines, including mumps, measles, rubella, diphtheria, tetanus, haemophilus, influenza type B, pertussis, polio, pneumococcal disease, human papillomavirus, and chickenpox. Yeah. That's the 11, one, two, three, four. Yeah. And all the other ones, again, all of it, wherever there's risk, and there's lots of risk on this because the onus is on you as a parent. You're taking all the risk.
That's the thing.
There should be choice and information.
Yeah. I mean, it's literally, it recommends that children receive vaccines for hep B,
prior to birth, if the, you know, upon birth, to prevent the infection, if the mother has it. And there's things that you can, you know, so if the mother has Hep B, yes, get your child vaccinated.
But that percentage is so stinking low. And why is it automatic? And also, why are some of these, why are there mandates?
Well, I
should never be a mandate on this stuff.
It recommends children between 6 and 23 months of age receive an initial series of COVID-19 vaccines.
My gosh.
Are we not over that yet?
Not in Oregon.
Well, whatever they can do to, you know, cause challenges.
Yeah. So they're going with the American Academy of Pediatrics. But in prior to 2025, like you said, the AAP, throw some acronyms out, endorsed the CDC recommendation. So I think this is really just orange man bad. I think that's doing a disservice. It's going to maybe potentially confuse some parents. I don't know. I would say suggest to any parents, people that are having young children coming up in this, it really is on you as parents to do your due diligence and research these things. I think the days of just really having faith and trusting in all of this are kind of over. You really need to be the advocate for your kids and know exactly what it is that's being injected into your child.
And doing your own research and looking into things. And taking multiple perspectives on it, and I just sit here and go, you know, that feeling I have right now is I think the AAP will go ahead and go back to the CDC guidelines, maybe not necessarily the next presidential cycle if J.D. Vance wins, but the next time you see a Democrat, unless they add everything back in, the AAP will go ahead and go, oh, no, we should just follow the CDC guidelines because, you know, now that the Republicans, those evil Republicans that want everyone dead are out of the way.
There, you know, and the bottom line is like we both said, too, as parents, it is your responsibility to check into all of this. And the numbers, I mean, 72 injections within the first 2 years of life.
Yeah.
Our babies are born, you know, perfect and beautiful and lovely and God's creation. We need to pump them full of poison.
A lot of it is.
I mean, when you look at what's in those, and again, I'm not a doctor. This is just my own opinion on this. But do your research. It makes me nervous. And when you look at the numbers of side effects, and again, the liability and the risk is all on the parent. It's not on the vaccine manufacturers. And until that changes, and again, the market comes in because these things, what's the incentive to make them safe? They're not really required to.
Mm-mm. Well, and I just sit here
There's
and go,
no risk.
It's astonishing that human beings have made it this far in evolution.
Right.
Because, you know, you go back generations ago, and it was, you know, just a couple of vaccinations. And before that, no vaccinations.
Right.
And humans managed to survive. Kids used to play in the dirt, you know. I mean, and they survived. I've watched my kids do some pretty gross things, I'm going.
And they probably have pretty righteous immune systems.
And they're still alive. They're still thriving. I'm going, I'm not... you know, heck, they've played in McDonald's play places before, okay, and they've come out unscathed, so.
Oh gosh, the ball pits are just like little snot factories. Those are disgusting. They practically shine because they're covered in snot. Ugh. They're gone now, though, right?
Yeah.
Because of that.
Very few of those ball pits exist.
I forget what a kid zone or something. Anyway, it's too bad that Oregon, again, has to be, you know, where we're going to just dig our heels in and we're not going to go along. This would have been a good way to maybe go, yeah, this actually is not so bad. You can do this and do that. And the messaging on this could have been a cooperative message. Instead, it's not.
It is.
I'm not surprised.
It is okay. These are the required ones, and these ones you all have the option of doing if you feel it's necessary. Consult your doctor. What happened to the days of consult your doctor? Yeah. Patients, work with your doctor to determine what the right course of action is for you. What happened to those days?
Well, those are long gone. You're lucky if you get 10 or 15 minutes, unless you're more rural. I'm a little bit more rural and had spent some good time with my doctor yesterday. She's lovely. But that's the thing. It is between the parents and the doctor. And that's really how it should be. And it's really kind of been taken out of that where it's recommendations and we have somebody else will tell you what to do. And that's not our job as parents. It's our job to research that.
Yeah. And our job to take care of our kids and provide for them, you know, the best path forward. And whether we believe that 72 injections or 11 injections, that's between the parent, their doctor, and their child.
Yeah, and I think that was 86 when it ramped up. And when you look at it and you look at the diagram where they've got the needles all around, it's like, oh, gosh, it really is pretty dramatic. So anyway, and again, there's so much information out there. We have all the information in the world in the palm of our hand.
Yeah. Even if we're told we shouldn't believe it. So
correct. But there's a lot out there to look on it. So I wanted to share this because this kind of goes into it as far as all the information out there in the world. And a lot of people coming into the new year talking about, my friend Kira Davis had posted this. She said, in 2026, I don't think we should be about the business of persuasion. And that's kind of where I'm coming down on this. If you have to be persuaded to do the research, is there really any point in discussing any of this? Or is there, if you have to be persuaded to maybe dig into a story about a political thing instead of taking a hot take on it or a knee jerk, is there a point of conversation? I don't know.
Yeah, well, and unfortunately, that's the society we live in. Everyone is a knee-jerk reaction, and then rather than admit maybe I was misled or maybe I jumped to the wrong conclusion, it's dig your heels in and call names. Yeah. And so it goes back to what we talked about, you know, earlier this week and last mm-hmm. week and everything else about, you know, nowadays, if your opinion doesn't align with the woke loudness,
right,
that you're disregarded before you even open your mouth.
Yeah. Just that label of conservative being put out to, or even, you know, libertarian or center, I don't know, not on the woke left. You're just discounted without even, it's like, ask me a question. No. So at this point, it's like, there's really not much of a point in trying to change hearts and minds that way.
I saw a little thing the other day that said, you know, with the primaries coming up and in this midterm election in November, the simplest question to ask is, why should I vote for the Democrat lawmaker that you're saying we should vote for without mm-hmm. using Trump in a sentence?
I don't think it can be done.
I don't think anymore. It's gotten that crazy out there.
All right, we're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour. Come on back on the other side.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
All righty, welcome back, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us on this gloomy Northwest day. Ugh. Stop with the rain. Okay, so we talk a lot, obviously, in the beginning. 2026, I think we're going to have a lot of the same conversations that we had in 2025. And we've got a guest with us today. I want to talk about Governor Kotek has instructed all Oregon agencies to create lists of how to reduce their legislative approved budgets by 2.5 to 5% in order to cover a $373 million budget shortfall. Specifically, this is relating to veterans. And so with us today to talk to why this matters to veterans and foster families is Russ Rogers, who is a disabled Marine Corps veteran, and his daughter Celeste are joining us today. To both of you, thank you so much, Russ. Thank you for your service, and welcome to both of you for sharing information about this, which I was not aware of. So I want to let you go and tell our listeners what's going on here.
Perfect. Thank you so much for having us in. So that's very common, actually. None of the veterans I've spoke to on the street, in antique stores, at Costco, everywhere my family's gone, we have been really pushing this hard because we showed up at a December 15th public hearing for this issue for veterans and for foster families, and only very few people showed up. We were cut off when we spoke. I spoke at the hearing. We were cut off after 2 minutes saying that veterans needed more time, or other veterans needed time. There was only 12 or 14 of us. So they really are trying to push this through and make it a non-issue and just try to get things changed. This is not legislative. This is a commission that was appointed by the governor. They are going to make this decision. January 15th is the last day that we can put comments into the Division 15 website. So everybody should go to this Division 15 website. At the bottom of the page, just type in Veterans Access Pass Reductions with Division 15. And that page has all of the information on it that you will be able to, that they're going to try to do the reductions to us. And at the bottom of that page is comment section. So you click on the comment section. You got to put your email in, maybe your phone number, your name, and then tell your comments. I'm about to give you some information that you can use to support your comments right now. Okay.
Perfect.
So here's what it is. Here's what's happening to us. The access pass for veterans and foster families is going to be reduced by 90%. The 90% reduction is from the camping. We get currently 120 days per year camping for veterans to go and heal in the Oregon State Parks, which we need very much so with all the different ranges of disabilities we have. It is going to be cut to 10 days a year. Veterans go year round. Not a lot of people go year round. Veterans are hardcore. We don't care about the weather. We're there when nobody else is. And you see veterans in the campgrounds everywhere. Well, we're not going to be able to do that, because if it's only 10 days a year, we're going to be prioritizing our time in the summer months with our children who are out of school, and it's not going to allow us to have the time that we need to heal in the state parks year round. The state parks are saying that it's 40% reduction because we keep our day use access. It's not a 40% reduction. You can't use the day use access if you're not camping. And so we go, veterans go camping, and then we use the day access. They are going to reduce that to 10 days. So that is something we have got to say no to in the comment section on Division 15. The parks say that we have an $8 million shortfall over 2 years, and they are going to save money by reducing this benefit, and it's going to save them $2.2 million. The benefit to veterans is way more than the cost reduction for Oregon. We were given this benefit 20 years ago. In 2005, this came about. Veterans have come to rely on this, and if it gets taken away, it is something that we rely on to with our families. Foster families are also dealing with this. They were 14 days a month. They are going to be reduced to the same as veterans at 10 days a year. The December 15 public hearing, they said that 20% of veterans, only 20% of the veterans use this benefit. But then in the same next sentence, they said that we are a burden on the parks because...
A burden?
We are a burden on the parks because veterans do no-shows, and then we get reimbursed, and then they don't have anybody in the campsites, and so they lose money. Here's the thing. If a veteran does not show up and they are a no-show, more than likely it has to do with their disability that they have. And so... It may be because of technology. It may be because their disability, their legs aren't able to do it. Their mind's not able to do it. They might have forgotten about it. Regardless of what the issue is, not going camping or having this benefit taken away because only 20% use the benefit is ridiculous. You're telling veterans that you don't care anymore. And when we have a budget of $1.5 billion biannually, $750 million a year going to just illegal health care, that's concerning that they're going to save $2.2 million from veterans' benefit being taken from us when this access has been given to people who should not be here. And this is a struggle I have with the state of Oregon. Real quick, State Representative Rick Lewis got back to me and said that he was also unaware of this. All of the Veterans Committee members in the Senate and the House of Oregon that got back to me had not heard of this issue. They are going to bring, Senator Lewis will bring it up in the next Veteran Committee meeting, but he said the thing that we all have to do is get on the Division 15 website and go down to the comments and put comments in. And so if you guys can use some of this information I just gave you, but there's a good amount of information on that page. You can look up Division 15 Veteran Special Access Reductions, and you'll get right to the page. One of the first links that pop up will be that. Just get into it.
Okay, real quick, though, before we'll have you leave that information, I will put that in show notes because a lot of times people are driving around running errands, and I don't want them to write that down while they're driving.
Sure.
So we'll put that into show notes. Okay, keep going. This is good information, Russ.
Perfect. So let me see what else I have to say here. There's a veteran that showed up, and just a couple of stories real quick. A veteran showed up to that the public hearing, and he said that he lives in his car 10 days the 10 days maximum that he can in the state parks. He is not able to hold a job down, and he bounces from there to BLM land and then back to the state parks. This will ruin what he's got going on. He won't be able to do that anymore. He's not sure how he's going to be able to continue. Real quick, the governor put September 7th through the 13th as Veterans Suicide Awareness Week, and this is what they're going to do to Oregon veterans, and none of the legislators in this state know about this. They don't know about it, and so they couldn't even weigh in on actually taking a veteran benefit away. I don't understand what American would think that would be a good idea, but here we are in Oregon, a place where we have an extensive amount of non-Americans, and this has been going on since 1987 when we became a sanctuary state. Because we got federal funds, should not be a help hurt veterans as much as it is. I'm sorry.
Really, the parks are a way for veterans to get away. Mm-hmm. And like he said, we use them majoritively, specifically Oregon ones, during not the summer, during the school year. And when we go, there's not a lot of people here. When we see people, it is veterans. And it's because it's the time of the year when it's not the best climate. It's not super sunny. The beaches, I mean, we're in Oregon. It's raining all the time. It's storming.
Cold.
But we take advantage of that, and it's a time for us to get away from the big cities and the people and to just kind of relax and take the weight off of our shoulders.
So real quick, your conversation with Representative Lewis, who is one of the good guys.
He represents
the canyon and everything up there. You said he was surprised about that. So none of this information has been shared to the legislature.
No, and what he said was that because it came up in a different committee, he may not have been privy to it. So he's definitely going to look into it. And also a couple of the representatives, I can't remember all their names, I'm sorry, but they sent the information on to the committees and the people that needed to hear it. So hopefully something's happening there, but I don't exactly know when the next committee meeting is. And so it may be past the January 15th date. Here's the timeline. January 15th is the drop dead date to get these comments in on the Division 15 site. That's the last day. The December 15th meeting, that was a month ago, but we had Christmas in there. And it was right after all of this stuff going on, trying to get the transportation tax on the ballot. Well, he said that, I lost my track, I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
He said that he sent all of this out to the other committees, but to make sure that we go and put these comments in. Oh, I was talking about the timeline. The timeline is January 15th is the drop dead date for comments. February, the commission, the State Parks Commission, is going to look at it, and then they are going to decide, and it is going into effect by March. So this is not is not going in next year. This is not, this will take 8 months. They are putting this into effect in February or in March after they look at it in February. So all of these comments they're going to look at, and then they're going to make their determination. And really, they've been told to cut their budget, and we are on the chopping block. Veterans should not be on the chopping block in Oregon.
Right. So I'm like you said, when we kind of started with you, that you've been talking to a lot of veterans, you go around and you mention this to people. I'm assuming that they were not aware of this.
None of them. I have had
and
probably
are they as upset as you are.
Absolutely. I've had about three of the veterans that I've talked to that knew about it. And the rest of them are just flabbergasted. I've had vets go, I've got my pass in my glove box right now. We're just about to make reservations. What's going on with this? What's happening? I need this. Wow. You don't understand. And so this is a thing that we have come to rely on for 20 years. And we want it for our future veterans and their families. And we understand the hardships, the PTSD, the cancers. One of my best friends, Aaron Bach, just died of brain cancer. Worked on a Navy aircraft carrier, and it had 100% disabled veteran from cancer directly related to his service. He just passed. He's a couple years older than me. I'm 48. You got to understand that these veterans, he loved the state parks. He went to the state parks. He enjoyed that we went and invited him to the state parks with us. And that's just one story. The story of the man living in his car. I helped a veteran a couple years ago that couldn't get his water working in his RV, and I helped him, and he was telling me about how he's a disabled Vietnam veteran, and he had his grandkids with him. He's like, I can't afford this. I'm on a fixed income. I'm messed up. I'm all messed up. I can't work. And his age was also a factor, but he said, I can come to these Oregon State Parks and use this benefit and look at my grandchildren, and that's going to be taken away. 10 days a year is not enough for veterans to get out. It takes us away from the state parks in all of the rainy seasons. We are going to have to prioritize the summer season with those 10 days if they end up doing that. Yes, we get the day use access, but we do not get the day use access with camping, which doesn't make sense. And so foster families as well, anybody that's associated with foster families, anybody associated with veterans, family members, influencers. If you are a supporter of veterans, I reached out to every single business that went in the Albany Veterans Day Parade. I reached out to all the businesses that I could look up online that were in this area, and all of the state of Oregon that were veterans. I have talked to tons of veterans. My daughter's talked to tons of veterans. We have she spread around school veterans. We have been trying to get this word out because every time we talk to somebody, they say, what? And they have not heard about it. And they are flabbergasted. And all they have to do is make comments. That's the only thing we can do.
Right.
We should not be on the chopping block. $2.2 million is ridiculous. The benefits to us way outweigh the cost to anybody. And it should not be on the chopping block. I've got a hold of the representatives. I've got a hold of a lot of veterans. Hopefully this gets along to a lot of veterans. But Division 15, Veterans Special Access Pass, go to the bottom of the page. Look at the comments. Here's one other thing. There is four pages right now of PDFs right below the comment section where you can see everybody else's comments. And this is public. This is non-veterans. This is veterans. And here's another thing. This is how it's going to affect all Oregonians. The State Parks wants to get permission from the commission. They want to have themselves be allowed to increase the rates to $25 per vehicle for day use. That is insane. It's $10 right now for a vehicle to come into the state parks for day use. They are going to give themselves the option to raise it to $25, and they also want to give themselves the option to do a different type of pricing in the state parks. Everybody needs to be aware of this. Instead of a static pricing for the whole year, they want to go to dynamic pricing, which is seasonal and will rate, and they want to be able to say they're not doing this right now. They want to be able to raise the rate seasonally to $80 a night camping. And that is double what it is right now. They say they're not doing it right now. They want the option to. And that's what this whole commission is doing, is trying to increase fees for everybody, take away veterans' benefits, not let any veterans from any other state come into the Oregon State Parks with that benefit. And it's just going to hurt veterans 100%.
Wow. Okay. As someone who's submitted public testimony many times myself, this is not a hard thing to do. A couple of sentences to get there out there. What you want is to get those comments out there to start building up the ones, in this case, in opposition. Russ, you did send me information. I've got a hyperlink here, so we don't need to worry about that. The PDF pages, everything is there for people to go check out. I wanted to say, because I was not aware of this until you reached out to me, so kudos to you and Celeste to you for using your voices and making this known to people. If we don't know, we can't say anything and we can't push back. So again, I want to thank you both. Russ, I will direct everybody in show notes over to the Division 15 rulemaking, that page at oregon.gov, long URL after that. Real quick, about a minute left to wrap up with you. Anything you want to leave our listeners with?
I would say that we have enjoyed the state parks and we've enjoyed Oregon. There's a few things that we have to change in Oregon. And I just heard that 200,000 people, conservatives in Oregon, have not registered to vote. I would urge you to please vote. Get out everybody you know. Influence this. Get out everybody you know. We only lost by 67,000 or so votes with Drazen and the current governor, and that is nothing. Please go register to vote. We had a huge turnout with the transportation tax to get that put on the ballot. Please turn out with this. And this issue is going to come and go. But we have got to change Oregon, because we are prioritizing people that should not be here over veterans, foster families, and all of our programs are getting squeezed right now to make up money that we could not get because we are a sanctuary state from the federal government. And they're saying that it's because of tax changes and that there's a $375 million deficit and we were at a $475 million surplus, but now all of a sudden we're at this $375 million shortfall. But it's completely because we will not fall in line with federal law and allow us to become independent of foreign people. And it's not that we don't want them here. We just need them to do it correctly so that we do not have to pay more and our programs are not going away. Our veterans are being taken care of. Thank you so much for having me on the show and my daughter. I really appreciate it.
We appreciate you, and thank you for reaching out, Russ. Again, I will share this with everybody. Russ Rogers, Celeste, thank you for the work you're doing. Again, Russ, thank you for your service. We're going to go ahead and take our last break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Cozy's New York Deli.
Well, I really appreciate that conversation with Russ and Celeste. Like I said, I did not know until he reached out. And I do also have, he was talking about the information he had sent me a lot. I will again share that in show notes. It's a kind of a good breakdown, especially if you do want to testify or provide testimony to get some talking points on that. But most people are like, don't be cutting veterans benefits.
No, that is veterans and foster families. I'm sitting there going,
really?
Yeah.
And then to do it with nobody knows about it. The fact that representatives weren't aware of it, according to what Russ was saying.
Well, it's one of the biggest problems we talk about regularly is the state of Oregon has become a bureaucratic state where the vast majority of these decisions and these things are happening behind closed doors with an appointed group that has no accountability to the voters and the taxpayers of the state of Oregon.
Yeah. And this one is falls right in with that. Another one we've been covering as well is, we need to have our friend of the show, Cassidy, on to talk about this. We chatted about it before Christmas and I need to get back. But Oregon, speaking about cutting things that are valuable to families and people, $1.1 million from Oregon FFA.
Yeah. Ugh. And we constantly talk about how the FFA programs here locally are some of the best educational programs in the area and one of the glowing bright spots of Salem-Keizer and surrounding areas. I'm just going, it shows how little, as they kick and scream and say, we need more money for schools and we need this and we need that, how little they actually care about schools and their systems.
Remember when we were having the conversations late last year when all of this transportation and it sounds like Russ was pretty involved in that effort, too. So he's one of the ones, those guys, they were out there working hard to get that in. I'm talking about, I think it was Representative Werner Reschke had tweeted out, just look at just the DEI budget. It was like 3.3 million, maybe? I don't know. Big. It was a big budget. Cut that.
Yeah.
Don't cut veterans and parks and foster families staying and, you know, camping in on public lands. Don't cut FFA. It's like they pick the ones that are going to hurt the people that we don't want hurt.
That it's what you know, I've seen throughout my lifetime is every time that they're having a budget shortfall or they need more money for something, it's police, fire, and schools.
Yeah.
Because those are the things they can hold over society's head, which, if you actually look at the way things are, should be their number one, two, and three priorities.
Correct.
Are number, 400, 500, 600? Yeah. I mean, whatever. They fund everything else and then come around and say, oh, well, we need more money for this.
Social justice garbage and all the DEI stuff. And the IDOT, ODOT, and maybe plowing the roads in winter to that, because we know the mountain passes are getting hammered. Mm-hmm. Are they out there timely? I mean, and this is nothing on the ODOT guys and gals that are out there. They're doing God's work out there.
From what I was seeing this morning.
It's the admin clowns.
Yeah, from what I was seeing is they're out there at the pass level, clearing roads as quickly as they can. I saw some video of some, you know, plows with chains. And so hopefully they're keeping our roads nice. You know, another way that the state of Oregon could save money is stop trying to sue Trump for everything.
How many lawsuits are we up to?
Oh, it was a
double digits.
Yeah, I think it's in the 30, you know, 52 lawsuits have been filed by Trump by the state of Oregon.
And priorities, man.
Yeah, for let's see, an estimated $3.1 million has been spent by Oregon taxpayers to sue the Trump administration because guess what? Tina Kotek is going to Trump-proof Oregon.
That's the priority, it seems to be. Not veterans having access to our parks, not foster families having access to the parks, not kids getting an amazing part of their education with FFA. They want to cut $1.1 million from that. And again, this funding on the FFA, it helps cover student dues, leadership conferences, scholarships for nearly 16,000 kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just sit here and go, you know, cutting these benefits to you know, foster families and veterans to access our parks. It goes, I'm also like, this is what Oregon wants. They want all of this green scenery and all of this wonderful stuff, but just don't use it if you're a peon. Because that's
don't
the way
go
it feels.
Enjoy it.
I mean, that's the thing is they're going, you know, you don't give this access to foster families and veterans. Well, now all of a sudden, people that need these kinds of things that are able to access the great things Oregon has are unable to. And these aren't the uber wealthy. These aren't the CEOs.
No.
These are day to day, mouth to mouth, hand, you know.
Yeah.
That,
and people who sacrificed for our country and for us and for our freedoms. So they're high up on my list.
Yeah.
The other thing I'm glad Russ mentioned, too, as far as, you know, in 2022, how, you know, really little we lost by encouraging people to get out there and vote, because these are policy decisions and these are choices that government officials are making in this state. So we have a choice as voters to say, nah, we're going to put somebody else in there.
Yeah.
And we have that opportunity this year.
Yeah, we need to rally around it and starting in May. Don't wait till November. Let's start soon. But go ahead and register to vote the right way, not through Motor Voter. How about that one?
Yeah. And if you're curious how to vote on the Salem City Council, watch tonight's meeting. That'll give you a good idea. I'll be there. All right, everybody. Have a great day. We got Jeff Reynolds on the show tomorrow. We're going to have a great show. Go out and enjoy the day. We'll see you tomorrow.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.